Well, I thought tonight, since our choir had spent so much time preparing a song about Psalm 23, that I should probably just talk about Psalm 23 tonight. So let's pray, and then we'll just talk about this, what we just heard, what you guys just so beautifully sang. Father in heaven, thank you this evening for the reminder that you are our shepherd. Bless us as we think about that tonight. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? He wants to be. The Bible says he's available. So let's just look at this. I just was in Israel a couple weeks ago, and looking out my brother-in-law's back window, you could see the shepherds. And a couple of years ago, I was over in Romania, and I saw all these lights in the middle of the night, in the middle of the field, little lights. And I asked my mother-in-law, what are those little lights? She says, those are shepherds smoking. You can see those little lights. They never left the sheep. They were out there with the sheep. And then there in Israel, they kind of commercialized a lot of things, but they have found some caves near Bethlehem, and where they would keep their sheep and stay in these caves. And one of the highlights of groups that go there is to go into these caves and sing songs about the shepherds. And this is one of those caves. The Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful thought. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Sheep don't just take care of themselves. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're talking about who your manager is. Look who my shepherd is. Look who's watching over me. It's like saying, look who my teacher is. Look who is helping me and mentoring me. Look who is leading me along. I have a good manager. I have someone that has helped me. How many of you have someone that just helped you through the years that you point back to and say, man, it's been a good shepherd? And there's been people that I've known since I've known anybody that have been good shepherds. Praise God for that, but praise God especially for Jesus, the good shepherd. Because when he's our shepherd, he says, I shall not want. My shepherd is so good. That doesn't mean I don't have any needs. It doesn't mean that I don't have any trials. It doesn't mean I never get hungry. It doesn't mean I don't have issues. But I have a good manager who laid down his life for me. He doesn't slumber. He bears my burdens. And he's satisfied. I'm satisfied with the care I'm receiving. I'm thankful for my manager. Even though I have problems, even though we go through problems together, I'm not looking for another manager. I'm thankful for Jesus, my shepherd. Amen? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's obvious that I didn't do this build right, or this would be up here already. So, what do I do now? I do none. There you go. I worked a none in here. Okay, so none. Conditions that have to be met for you to lay down in green pastures. We say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It sounds like a mandate. You must lie down in green pastures. Now, that's not the point. He makes it possible for me to cows and support the bees. And it's saying it's a place of abundance. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he talks about leading us, leading his people to the promised land. I'm looking over the land. I'm making it a place where you can go. You can lie down. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone make me dwell in safety. He leads me beside the still waters. Not stagnant waters. Still waters. Clean waters. Pure waters. Sheep are made up of 70% water. Dehydration causes weakness, irritability, restless searching for water, which leads them to drink polluted water due to impatience. And so many times the shepherd will get them up before dawn when the dew is still on the grass, and they get a lot of their water from the dew. Some of these places in Egypt and Israel, where I've been recently, both these countries, it is hot. I can see why they needed a fire by night and a cloud by day. We called it our bus. But he showed up and did it with an actual cloud and fire. But many times the shepherds will have the sheep get up and begin grazing long before the sun gets up. And how many think that we should be grazing long before the sun comes up? And then after the sun goes down, it's almost like morning and evening worship. That old song, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. The problem is people have made up their own water sources, and they've rejected the living water and gone for broken cisterns. And just this last Sabbath, I was talking about in Gedi. Gedi comes from a spring that has been flowing for thousands of years. The cisterns might work, but they break. Sins separate us from God. We choose to reject God, the spring of life, spring of water. We choose to replace God with man-made cisterns. It doesn't really work long term. Our water sources, our way of getting water, just doesn't work. They can't sustain. Moses led people from a place where they thought they had water all figured out with the Nile. And God says, no, I'll show you that I can bring water from these rocks in the wilderness. I'm in charge of living water. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I am the living water, and I can give you eternal life. I'm the source of water. Believe in me by drinking that living water. And it'll be not only for you, but it'll be for others. And my water and my words are spirit and their life. So he leads me by the water and restores my soul. I love this phrase. How many of you like this phrase? He restores my soul. Now, in the Bible, I didn't realize this till several years ago when I was studying Psalm 42 for a depression recovery program. And in that psalm, it says a number of times, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And that phrase, cast down, is actually a technical term for when a sheep has fallen and can't get up. It may be when they're pregnant and their weight is out of balance and they roll over and their legs are sticking up in the air and they simply cannot turn over without help. Nothing they did wrong, but there's something that went wrong. Sometimes when they get overweight, this can happen as well. Or when they're overconfident, they think they can lay wherever they want, and they lay in a place where it rolls them over, and they literally cannot get up without help. Sometimes people come to our clinical programs, and they feel embarrassed. Why is it that you have to help me get up in the morning? Why is it that you have to help me know what to eat, what to drink? It's actually happens all the time with sheep. And Jesus says, I'm here to help you. I'm not here to criticize you. You fell over. You're cast down. And we're here to help. How many of you have ever been helped when you were cast down? You couldn't do anything about it. Maybe it was something that you did wrong, but maybe it wasn't something you never did wrong. Sometimes people are ashamed of what they've done. Sometimes people are ashamed because of what's done to them. And God meets us where we are, and he helps us get up. Are you thankful for a shepherd like that who keeps helping us get up? The problem with some groups, like a group called the Laodicean sheep, is they don't think they need any help. And they're wretched. They're poor. They're pitiful. They're blind. And there's laying there in the field, and the shepherd's knocking and saying, please, let me help you before you go too far. What a wonderful master that is to have that care. So what do? Well, they roll the sheep over. The gases are released that are built up because they're not haven't been moving. They give them a massage. Can you say amen? Almost sounds like one of our clinical programs, like the New Start of Depression Recovery. Roll people over, give them a massage, help them with the various food and different things. Wow. This psalm is actually the depression recovery program for sheep. Amen? But the principles also work with us because we are like sheep who have gone astray. Then they teach them to slowly walk again. Maybe they count their steps and give prizes to them if they go far enough. I'm not sure. And they slowly get up and they begin to walk. Now, here's a particular sheep who came to one of the clinical programs here. This is far beyond a trichobezoar. This is, which is a furball. This is, what's the problem here? Yeah, he forgot to shave, Jimmy. That's correct. That's a good way to put it. He forgot to shave. Another thing that can cause sheep to be cast down is too much wool. Too much wool. Look, they're surprised that this sheep was still alive. They figured he had not been shorn for 6 years when they discovered him. When they finally got all of the wool off of him, it was 70 pounds worth of wool. If I cut some of your hair, I think it might, you know, it might near 10 pounds some of you, but never 70. 70 pounds of wool. I'm not looking at your hair trying to weigh it. But that's just too much wool. Yeah? And it causes problems. And when we have too much self in our lives, it causes problems. Remember Absalom? He had a lot of hair, but he also had a lot of problems that went with that hair. Remember, I had a roommate once who loved his hair so much. He would get up every morning. He would comb his hair. He'd look at his hair. It was long, luscious hair. I couldn't stand it. So he had his little blow dryer there. It was like a diesel blow dryer. It was very high duty. And he was blowing his hair because he said, you know, I'm special. The ladies here look at me and I have to look good. I was like ready to throw up. And he had his little blow dryer and it was plugged in right near me. And I was like unplugging it right at the pivotal moment, you know, when he's trying to get rid of that colic. And then he finally traced it from what was happening to I was laughing. And he was so upset, he actually threw me out the window. And the reason he threw me out the window was not because of me. It was because of him. He was too much into himself. That's what I kept telling myself as I went down, down, down. It's his problem. But really it was. How many of you have ever met someone or yourself, been too consumed with yourself? Too much wool. Not enough giving. Not enough giving. Are you thankful for people that give to God's cause? Are you thankful that you can give? Are you thankful that there's an antidote for covetousness? By the way, no high priest was ever allowed to wear wool when he was in the Holy of Holies. And where are we in Earth's history if we look at the place prophetic where we are, looking at Leviticus 23? We're living in the day of what? We're living during the third angel's message, which is in that Day of Atonement time period too. Is it time to be accumulating goods? Or is it time to be giving them away? Amen. The Day of Atonement is not a time for accumulation. It's a time to fear God and give Him glory. Whatever we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we do. Laodicea is rich and increased with goods. Are you thankful for those that are not motivated by everything they have, but are rather motivated by everything they can give? The treatment for too much wool being cast down is weight loss. It's exercise. It's shearing. And many of these things you need help from other people. Have you ever seen a sheep shear itself? it's kind of hard. Sometimes we need other people to ask us, hey, it looks like you got a little bit too much wool. I think I can take some of that off you. Can you say amen? And my son James is good at that. He's asking me for stuff all the time. Where is he? And I love giving him stuff. I love doing that. And I love seeing when he gives other people things too. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, we have different ways we want to go that we think are right. There is a way that seems right, but the end of it leads to death. It says it repeatedly in the Bible. Self-righteousness, way of death. Anything but Christ's righteousness, his way of doing things, leads us the wrong way. It's the way of death. But it says that he will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? Oh, by the way, here's an example. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Look at this particular sheep. He got in a ditch, and he's being pulled out. And you would think that he just learns his lesson. And you know, that video goes on, and that sheep does that repeatedly. All we like sheep have gone astray. And this is why he needs to lead us in the paths of his righteousness. Amen? And by the way, that was a picture of you. And that was a picture of me. How many of you have repeatedly fallen again and again and again the same way? By the way, the Bible says a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets up. He doesn't give up. He gets up again. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? For his name's sake. Where is God's name? Recently, I was looking at this and looking at the Ten Commandments. The tenth commandment is thou shalt not covet. In other words, be satisfied. Are you satisfied with life? If you're not satisfied with life, it's probably because you're listening to some lies. 80% of what we think is negative and 90% is repetitive of those negative thoughts, probably lies. So we're not satisfied because we're listening to lies. And sometimes we've been stolen from or we steal from others and we have shame, which is the next commandment in the group, 10, 9, 8. And if we're not satisfied, we're listening to lies, and we've been stolen from, or we steal from others, and we have shame, it messes up our intimacy. And if our intimacy is messed up, we're not physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually close the way we should be, we get angry, we get frustrated, we might feel like hurting ourselves or hurting other people. We feel so low that we try and get high. Right? That's the last five commandments. And by the way, none of those commandments have the name of God associated with them directly. It's not there. The name of God is with the first five commandments. I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Has God ever delivered you? Praise the name of the Lord for that. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The largest story in the Bible, the most ubiquitous story, is the Exodus. And it's in every building you go to in America. Exit, exit, exit. I go to a restaurant, I say, I was at a Buddhist restaurant the other day. I said, man, you guys are very spiritual here. I appreciate it so much. So, well, how did you know? I said, look at these signs, exit. They just looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, that's a Bible story. You knew that, right? It is. I told them how God delivered people. And that's why that sign is there. How many are thankful for the name of the Lord that led to the Exodus? Amen. Showing mercy in the thousands and that love me and keep my commandments. See, these first two commandments, when we see what God has done right for us, even though we did something wrong, we see his righteousness addressing our wrongness. His mercy are messing stuff up, then our life becomes one of gratitude. Gratitude. Do you live a life of gratitude? That's what it means to be led by God for His name's sake. Each one of these first four commandments or five commandments has His name associated with them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does that mean? Isaiah 29, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, quotes it again. In vain do they worship me, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. We take God's name in vain. We don't do things for His namesake. When we make up our own laws, we make up our own rules, we make up our own commandments. And this is why we get broken. This is why we go on the wrong path. So we should have daily and weekly gratitude times, maybe a daily devotional life, a weekly Sabbath day, where we can rest in the understanding He's our Creator and that He's our Redeemer. And then we have a purpose. We can be a parent. We can be a physician. We can be a provider of goods. We can be someone working in the marketplace. We can get into a parental role in helping other people. And if we don't misuse that authority, we help people have satisfaction. We help people know the truth. We help people possess what they need, not be stealing. We help them understand true closeness and intimacy. And we help them have abundant life so that all the commandments turn positive, not negative. Can you say hallelujah? And then we're not just getting high, we're getting most high. How many of you guys want to get most high? Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I was reading about this, and some shepherds will take people through the valleys to get to the upper places of feeding. It's hard to go through those valley times, but they have to go through those to see the great views. I see Calvin here, and I remember when he took one of his friends who was in a wheelchair all the way to the top of a mountain. It wasn't easy going up, but when they got to the top, it was worth the view. When the sheep that are taken to the high plains, they have to go through valleys sometimes. I couldn't find the pictures I took over there in Israel a couple years ago, but I had some great pictures of valleys where you just have this little valley go straight down, and it's got a shadow. If a sheep falls in there, they're not going to get out. They're in the valley of the shadow of death. And they can't get out without help. But it says here, you don't have to die because you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Just because you're depressed doesn't mean you have to end your life. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Keep walking. Keep following the Master. Put one step in front of the other, and God will lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. Has He taken you through any valleys? Can He take you through every valley? Even if you should die, has He been through that valley? And can He lead you through that? It's the only way to higher ground, but filled with dangers and shadows. I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I was looking at these rods and staffs that the shepherds would carry. A rod was a relatively short, heavy club-like device that the shepherd would know how to wield and usually fashioned it himself. It was a weapon, really, where he could fight off predators or deal with obstreperous sheep who were causing disunity in the batch, bullies and whatnot. And the staff was longer and thinner and had a hook or a crook at one end to guide and lead and rescue. Now David, famous shepherd, had also a sling. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. David was quite a shepherd, wasn't he? And you never know where you're going to encounter lions in life and have to know how to navigate your way through them. David also had a sling. They found slings outside Lachish. And these sling stones, look at how big those sling stones are. You think it's easy to have a sling? And they would be able to hurl these stones. They say sometimes, like, I don't know how many feet it was, but they could, the warriors back then, they could, they found the stones near Gath. And these stones were actually, had a density that was much higher than other stones. So where David fought Goliath, the stones were much more dense, and he was able to fire them accurately and overcome not just a lion and a bear, but sometimes it's not lions and bears, but it's other people that are going against God's will in his way. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I thought this was very interesting as I read some of the shepherds' ideas about this. A tableland. This is the grand mesa. Mesa means table. We take these sheep to the upper regions of upper areas to feed. Before they would go there, they would look, though, to see if it was okay. They would look at these tablelands, the mesas, and the shepherd goes there and makes sure that everything is in place for when the sheep arrive. Salt, minerals, check for poisonous weeds, blue and white camas. They look good, but they're deadly. If the sheep eat them, they can die. They need to be painstakingly plucked up. It's like running a school and not letting bad theology get in the school. It doesn't look glamorous. It takes a lot of time. People think, what are you doing? It looks like a great flower. No, it's deadly. We got to pluck that up. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. The shepherd looks for signs of predators, wolves, coyotes, cougars, bears. Signs of them, because some of them you never see. You don't usually see mountain lions or cougars running around. They're pretty stealthy. Rarely, if ever seen, you just see the results. They check the water holes. The shepherd knows the land and potential problems. And Jesus, the good shepherd, it says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He knows all the temptations. He knows all the pitfalls. He knows everything. How many of you are thankful for a shepherd who was first a sheep? And isn't that what Psalm 22 says? Everything about the sheep is applied to Christ in Psalm 22. Everything about the shepherd is applied to Christ in Psalm 23. And isn't a shepherd going to be better if it was first a sheep? Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. What a shepherd we have. He has prepared things for us. And his personal ministry is incarnation in Gethsemane, at Pilate's Hill and Calvary. I was just there looking at Caiaphas' house where Jesus was probably held before the crucifixion, walking up that road where Jesus walked, thinking about everything he did for us so we don't have to experience what he experienced. Are you thankful for a shepherd like that? A man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs. Thou anointest my head with oil. Last two verses, our last verse, verse and a half. You anoint my head with oil. Wow. And they actually do this. They anoint the head with oil. Why? Oil, sulfur, tar mix given to get rid of pests. This is at times needed daily. A daily anointing. How many think we might need a daily anointing? Right? In the time we need not just rain, we need latter rain. We're going to need all kinds of anointing at the end of time. And the sheep will be anointed individually, not collectively, by the shepherd. If not done, what happens? The sheep literally will go crazy from the pests. They start banging their heads on things, trying to get rid of the pests, injure themselves, injure others. And this is why the master must apply the oil individually to the sheep. Not only that, notice this. The sheep are getting baptized. Can you say amen? Sometimes we might need a communion service, a little bit of the oil. But literally, I think maybe one of the best things we could do in our next general conference session is encourage rebaptism for everybody. Did that startle you? I say that based on an Ellen White quote that gripped me a couple years back. It said, I speak to our leading brethren, to our ministers, especially to our physicians. As long as you have pride in your hearts, you'll never have the power you will need. But when you understand this and are rebaptized, then strengthen the brethren. Let me think that sometimes even in ministry, we can have a need to be rebaptized by God. The sheep can develop something called scab, an irritating and contagious disease. And it's passed through direct head-to-head contact. So many times we put our heads together and come up with nothing good. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the entropy. Walking, standing, sitting. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and the night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His branch also is not withered, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's two ways to go. But sometimes we put our heads where they shouldn't be. And when scab takes over, everybody needs to be dipped in linseed oil and sulfur. Or in Palestine, it was olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices. Very expensive. But it was the only way out for the herd. And many times the entire flock needs to be dipped. Entire flock needs to be dipped. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. Autumn, my cup runs over. I love this. Autumn is a time of health for sheep. No flies, no disease. They're fit, they're strong, they're well. Their cup overflows. Their oil overflows. I'm anointed with the oil of gladness more than all his brethren, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. These are people now walking in Christ's righteousness by his grace through his faith, the obedience of the faith, patience of the faith, and now they're living righteousness by faith, and they're actually dripping with additional oil. How many think this is a condition you'd love to have? Because then they're able to focus on others. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that comes down Aaron's beard, his hair, his beard, comes down his robe. It's like the water, it says, that comes down from Mount Hermon. I just was at Mount Hermon couple weeks ago. You know what happens at the base of Mount Hermon? There are four streams that gush up, four tributaries of living water. They come together in a town called Dan, and then they call the river the Jordan River. And everything flows from that overabundance of verdure. Nothing grows or lives in Israel without what happens on Mount Hermon. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God, Romans 2:4, leads us to repentance. The word repentance means the change of mind. Meta, change, nos, the mind. So as we continue to look at the goodness of God, the Good Shepherd, it changes our mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the goodness of God leads us to repentance, the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the goodness and mercy of God begin to follow us, motivate us all the days of our life. I love this quote that Elder Wilson shared the last time he was here in the cafeteria. From Patriarchs and Prophets 667. consecrated Christian life is ever shedding light, comfort, and peace. It is characterized by purity, tact, simplicity, and usefulness. It is full of Christ. And I like this phrase. It leaves a track of light wherever its possessor may go. How many want to leave a track of light wherever you go? Not your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, his light. And then finally, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just here, but in the hereafter. We don't just avoid death, we avoid the second death. We don't just have life, we have eternal life. What a good shepherd to take us to the grazing grounds of heaven by the sea of glass is the Lord.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.